The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Thank you to Amora and to the team for choosing and singing this song so well. As we head into Easter, I'm going to talk about Palm Sunday this morning. Recently, there was a survey among Gen Z, young adults, asking them about their life and what they look forward to and what they want to do with their lives. And many of them said that more than 50% expected that this world would end in their lifetime. So many of them are trading being happy are wanting to be happy and have friends rather than build a house or be successful in the career. Only 29% said they want to be successful in the careers. 13% said getting married, or 33% having kids or buying a new home, 26%. Well, we can understand that because we can't afford homes anymore. But what has shifted is this hope and belief in the future. No wonder our millennials or the Gen Zs are saying, let's just prioritize today. We're looking for somebody to solve our problems. If there was somebody who could solve your problems right now, the problems you are facing, thinking about, wouldn't that be a great person to have? Free from your pain, to solve your financial issues, to solve your relationship issues, to help you understand what the next step for your future is. So what does this have to do with waving palm branches? And Amora did a really great job explaining a whole lot of that, but I'm going to add some more to that if I could, Amora, this morning. So I won't cover what you did. You did it so well. What is all of this about wanting a great leader and about the next generation saying we think the world's going to end and we think we're in trouble? What does that have to do with Palm Sunday? And what does it have to do with what an atheist said that Africa needs God? Somebody wrote, and I'll come back to the story a bit later, his name is Matthew Paris. He wrote in the London Times, he said, I'm an atheist, but Africa needs God. Why would he say that? So let's journey into this Palm Sunday story from Luke chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen as well. And we'll read together Luke chapter 19 from verse 29. And it follows on from last week when Alan spoke about Lazarus and the celebration that they'd had because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. This follows on. It's the next day. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to that village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. So Bethpage was where Lazarus and his family was. But next verse, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, his owners asked them, why are you untying this colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it, and he went along. People spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, so from Bethpage to Jerusalem, you're looking up to Jerusalem, there's this big valley, and where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Remember, they just had the celebration the day before about Lazarus. And they said this, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It's almost a Christmas sort of message when the angels sang something similar to that. Why are they doing this? Why are they celebrating this person? What's that all about? Well, firstly, he'd raised Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus is king. He was demonstrating over death and over the grave. He has this person who could raise the dead. He was somebody who you could, you know, put your hope in, at least for the life to come. Jesus had shown his king over sickness and death itself. But what else does the story tell us? Let's carry on reading. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." This isn't the sort of thing that a teacher, somebody who was a rabbi, had followers following him. There were apprentices, and the followers should become like him. But they, you know, and when that person died, these followers would carry on and carry on the teaching. But here, the followers were saying, "Boy, this is God, you know, let's praise him." And so the Pharisees were saying, "That's not good. Tell them to keep quiet." And then Jesus says this strange thing. He says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." What on earth is that about? And what has this got to do with palm branches? You see, friends, we all understand this very clearly in our own bodies. Since the fall, since Adam and Eve, creation has been in decline. Our bodies are in decline. So sin has taken hold of this universe. And so everything is in decline. Psychologically, spiritually, socially, physically, everything is breaking down. And we feel that, don't we? Yet we have this hope that something should be different. We're longing for something to be different. It's built into us. We feel it. That's why we like fairy tale stories so much. That's why as adults we love reading them to our kids. Because somewhere in even those fairy tales there's this idea of something should be better in this life. It's like it's built into our hearts. So what's the palm branches got to do with it? Well, Isaiah 55 verse 12 talks about the Messiah and it says this. It says to those who are thirsty, come and drink. Come and listen to what God is saying to you. God is going to send his messenger ahead of you. And then you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's like them, you're taking this palm branch and you're saying the trees of the field are clapping their hands. And as Psalm 96 goes on to say, let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. You see, friends, in our hearts, we are looking for somebody to come and solve these problems. And as it were, and we don't know what it will be like when Jesus comes back and all creation worships him. But this palm ceremony was, and there were other reasons, and we'll come back to maybe one of them in a little bit later, but it was like saying creation is worshiping this man who's riding on this donkey. All creation is clapping its hands. And Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, you know what, if the people don't give praise, then the rocks are going to cry out and worship because their creator king has come. Even the donkey, this foal that he was riding on, people will tell you, you know, try and get on a horse that hasn't been broken in, hasn't been taught how to take somebody on their back. He was a young animal who takes Jesus on his back. Nobody has ever ridden him. And even her, I don't know what the donkey is, but let's say the donkey. Even this donkey is bowing to the Savior and saying, I recognize who you are. And submits to him. Even the donkey realized it. The people around him, some did, some didn't. But Tim Keller would tell us this. It's a beautiful quote. He says, let me tell you, if the trees and the stones are going to dance and sing under the ruling power, what would happen to you? This is when the Messiah comes, or when Jesus comes into your life. All of your potentialities explode to the degree that you are under the royal power of Jesus Christ. Tim Keller is a pastor, was a pastor in New York, he's passed away now. He tells us about that when we come under the rule and reign of Jesus, really all of our hopes and dreams should just be multiplied. And we feel that to some degree. Let's be honest, we don't feel it entirely this morning. We're in a broken world. We live in a broken world. But friends, there were others in this crowd that didn't quite have the same idea about Jesus. And as Amora said to us a week later, Just a few days later, the same crowd. And by the way, what was happening in that time? So this was the Passover. Three times a year, the Jewish males were required to go to Jerusalem, and lots of people went. And the population of Jerusalem doubled at that time, at least. And even when Josephus was around in AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed, and Jesus even talks about that, he would say, Josephus was a historian, there were a million people in that area, and Jerusalem wasn't designed for that. So people were camping all the way outside Jerusalem, up into the hills, and they were there. Part of the palm branch idea was a political statement. Some of them before the time of Jesus, and there was a revolt, and they were using that as a national symbolism. They were looking for Jesus to come and overthrow the Romans and come and give them back their nation. So some were thinking about Jesus like that. Some of the political leaders, they said, no, just keep quiet. Jesus, don't rock the boat. If you read the Gospels, there will be times when they said, the Romans are going to come and take away what we have. Let's do Jesus in. Let's take him out. Rather let one man die than all of us. They're saying to Jesus, don't rock the boat. Don't be like that. Just be Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Don't have any aspirations on our lives. Just be a kind teacher. But not everybody was like that. But Jesus saw the hearts of many, and so as the scriptures go on in Luke 19, this narrative says to us, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it. Can you imagine Jesus' state of mind here? It's a few days before the cross. He knows what he's going to go and experience. And he's weeping over people and their lack of understanding of him. And wanting solutions which are man-made, but yet standing before them was the very person who could solve their problems, who wants to solve their problems. And he wept. And he said, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. So I'd say to our millennial generation, if only you would know what would bring you peace. I would say to you this morning, if only you would know what would bring you peace. To your neighbor who's not had peace, who's chasing all sorts of things in their lives, trying to find fulfillment and peace, if only they would know what would bring them peace. Next verse, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. See, there is a choice we make. And what Tim Keller said, I don't know if you picked it up in his quote, he said, to the degree that we make the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord and to the degree that we bow our knee before him is the degree that we're going to truly experience his blessedness. But friends, some did recognize who Jesus was. Some did count the cost. They took their clothes off their backs. Expensive clothes, right? When you go out to Jerusalem, right, you probably would have had your best clothes on, right? They took their, not all their clothes, we hope, took off some of their clothes and put them on the ground, put them on the donkey, and let Jesus ride down this road in the face of opposition of the Pharisees who were looking in at them like the secret police. In the face of opposition, they stood their ground. Notice they chose to worship. And I guess that's the posture that I want to give to you this morning. In this world where there is so much pressure on you to conform and on me to conform to this world, and it seems like the systems are working against us, we can choose to worship. We can choose to bow the knee because we believe in what is to come and we believe in the transformational power of Jesus. But you might ask this question this morning, Ray, where is this Jesus? Why do we not see the change in the world that we would hope for and talk about? Why do we see that we're facing this hostility from people around us? Is there any hope for today? So where is this king? See, friends, Jesus could have ridden into Jerusalem like any other good leader before him on a white stallion. He could have had legions of angels, if he wanted, in his train. He could have taken authority and command and said, I'm taking over. And he could have forced us to bow the knee. But he knows if he's going to win us, he needs to win our hearts. He needs to change us, transform us. Otherwise, we're back to Eden. That's the way he works. He rides on a donkey, not a horse. He chooses to become the king of my heart, the king of your heart first. And I would say to you, I would put to you today, God and the Holy Spirit is relentless. God the Holy Spirit is relentless at wanting to show you how to make Jesus your Lord and King first. And he makes that, he shapes that to exactly where you're at and who you are and your personality and your DNA. And he shapes that and he's speaking to you if you would hear him. So he first changes my heart and your heart. Then he changes families. And because of that, it changes our schools. And because of that, it changes our workplaces. And because of that, it changes our governments. And because of that, it brings social justice. Because of that, the good news of Jesus Christ is preached to the ends of the earth. And then the end will come. Then the end will come and we'll see the return of the King. See, friends, the Gospels are not just about how Jesus turned out to be God. They're about the path that God took to become king on earth as in heaven. What does that look like for you today? Romans 8:19 says this. He says, for the creation, that is you, and around us, the creation around us waits in eager expectation for the children of God, you, to be revealed. This world is waiting for what you bring because of Jesus Christ in you. That's where Jesus, that's where we see Jesus, that's where we notice him at work, that's where we see his transformational power transforming us, my stubborn heart, and I would argue your stubborn heart. So coming back to that story, Matthew Paris, this atheist who wrote in the London Times, and he used to work for NGOs, non-government organizations, and he would go into Africa, and he would see the difference that Christian organizations would make, and he would see the difference that non-Christian organizations would make. And he said, even though I'm atheist, he would say that it's really Christianity which is bringing the change in Africa. Can you imagine this, writing this in the London Times? And he said this, education and training alone will not do. And this is not just Africa, this is Asia, this is Australia. In Africa, Christianity changes people's hearts. It brings a spiritual transformation. The rebirth is real. The change is good. And he says he would walk into villages and he would know that missionaries have been there because people, the lights were on in their eyes. They were different. They were confident. They were changed people. And you would see that even if you go to remote communities in Australia that are Christian, you would see there's something different here. Let me challenge you this morning, just from this passage about Palm Sunday. Thinking about the waving of the palms and all creation worshiping God. And how that's going to look when Jesus comes back, we don't know, but they were waving the palms to even, the trees are clapping their hands. What does it look like for you and I? How do we put this into practice? Let me challenge you with three things. And take one of them, work on one. If there's another one that you think about, that's fine. But what will you do, friends, this morning to rekindle the fire that you once had to worship Jesus? If you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, perhaps your heart has grown cold. What do you need to do to change that? Secondly, what do you need, where do you need the transforming power of the Holy Spirit? And to tell him that, as we pray in a moment to go, Holy Spirit, I need your transforming power in this place. I'm struggling with this. Ask him to fill you and change that. He's your creator, your maker, who understands what you need. And then thirdly, if those are all okay for you, and you're concerned about the direction of this world, In what way will you demonstrate this week the presence of the kingdom of God to others? Where you live, work, and play. You're God's representative on this earth. And all creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of the King. You carry this ability to be a transforming agent in the space where you are, to be different, to make a difference, to not give up, to not bow the knee to the secular power. To be the light of Jesus. Let me pray for you. And as I do that, just allow the Holy Spirit to pick up one of those three things and push it into your heart. So let me pray and give you space for that to happen. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you rode into Jerusalem, there was so much afoot on that day. And Lord, this morning we pray that you would move through this place in your power and glory and majesty. Teach us to worship you again. Help us to see you and see your wonder and your glory and your majesty and your love, compassion. And Holy Spirit, if there's an area in our hearts, in our lives that need to change, where we need transformation, we bring that to you. And then give us boldness this week. Your filling, your power to be your witnesses, to be different, to act differently, speak differently, behave differently, to do things, Lord, which honor you, to speak about you. Help us do that. So I pray your blessing on this church, Lord. Would you protect it? Would they go from strength to strength in worship and honor of you? Might you equip them, Lord? Would you transform them through the power of your Holy Spirit to be the light in this world that so desperately needs it? So we worship you. And give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.